Here I am at Bristol Old Vic with Andrew Stocker, who'd worked here for 24 years, so he knows quite a bit about the theatre. I'm actually in the dressing room which Ian McKellen used last year. And so Andrew, hello.
Hello. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good. I'm very good. So, Andrew, just tell me a bit about the history of this theatre, because I think you do the tours, don't you?
That's correct. I do the tours. I mean, this theatre is recognised. I mean, this theatre in British history is unique because this theatre is recognised by the Guinness Book of Records as the oldest working surviving theatre, which is running in concurrent everyday usage. So it's the oldest working surviving theatre still being used today. It opened 241 years ago on the 30th of May, 1766.
So that's pretty exact.
That's pretty exact. Yeah. Although it is recognised as the oldest theatre, surviving theatre today, it wasn't the very first theatre which actually was opened in the city of Bristol. The very first theatre which opened in Bristol was based over on Jacobs Wells Road, and that was set up by a group of touring players from the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. And of course, in those days, what you had to remember, actors, they didn't have a very good reputation. They were like vagabonds. I mean, if you went in as a performer, if you never had an official license, you could be arrested and put in prison. So actors didn't have a very, they were all sort of vagabonds, didn't have a very good reputation at all. But they came down on Jacobs Wells Road and set up this theatre company, and they were merchants in the city of Bristol. And a couple of these merchants lived just around the corner from where King Street is located today in Queen Square. And they got 50 of these merchants together, and they each invested £50 each into a plot of land right next door to the old Cooper's Hall in King Street, which is a magnificent building. And of course, up until 1969, the Cooper's Hall was a fruit and vegetable warehouse. And behind, by side of that warehouse, was these two little Georgian houses. So behind those Georgian houses, they purchased the land. And they built this theatre, the Theatre Royal. I mean, of course, it was originally called the Bristol Theatre when it opened. But being these merchants, I mean, they took an almighty gamble because they built the theatre. And they were very much on the ball because through the company from Drury Lane over on Jacobs Wells Road, they actually went to Drury Lane and got Sir Christopher Wren's designs, gave them to an architect called Thomas Patey. And from Patey and Sanderson's collaboration together as architect designers, they designed the theatre in a very unique horseshoe shape with three levels. And it opened on the 30th of May. And the very first two plays they performed here, one play was called The Conscious Lovers, and another play was called The Miller of Mansfield. But unfortunately, they ran out of money, so they never actually had enough money to actually buy an official licence. So it was advertised originally in the Bristol paper as an educational event. It was described as an evening of a specimen of rhetoric, music and laughter, and they got away with it. But the theatre itself did receive its first royal visitor in 1766. That was the Duke of York, but George III didn't recognise the theatre until 1778. And that's when it was given its royal charge and then became known, as it is known today, as the Theatre Royal Bristol.
Okay, and because I've made a few notes, yes. You know, I've come prepared, obviously. Okay. And I used to work here on the stage door. Mm-hmm. So I know the theatre quite well, because part of my job was to sort of walk around, close up. Because it's broken into a few parts, isn't it?
It is. The theatre has, well, I mean, it's changed a lot. I mean, as you know it today, I mean, it's a beautiful old theatre, as we all know. But originally, it only had two tiers. You would know it having three tiers today, because what we refer to today as the gallery, if you imagine, to describe this to you, it's a horseshoe shape. You have a ground level, in like a pit level, then you have a level above that, and then another level. So you have today you have the stalls, dress circle, upper circle in gallery. Well, originally, when the theatre originally opened, we had what was the stalls was called the pit, and above that was what we call the dress circle. That was just called the circle level. And above that level again was the upper circle. I mean, that was called the gallery originally, because what we know the gallery today didn't exist 241 years ago. The upper circle today is what was the gallery originally. And the gallery and the circle level, as they were known originally, because in the theatre it's a lovely horseshoe shape where we have lots of pillars. Well, originally between those pillars was wooden partitions. So these were basically two levels of boxes. And today, when you come into the theatre, if you come through the circle, the dress circle level, there's a centre walkway where you can actually walk down now into the stalls. Well, originally, that was box. There was no centre walkway, because if you had money in those days, you would have sat in a different area of the theatre to the poor people. So the rich people sat in the theatre boxes, in the circle level and the gallery level. And all those boxes, when the theatre actually opened originally, were named after famous playwrights. Today, when you come into the theatre, you come through the centre doors, between the two centre pillars of that centre walkway, where that was the theatre box, to give you an example, that was called the Shakespeare box, named after William Shakespeare. And of course, that was the most expensive place to sit originally. So down in the pit, which is today the stalls, which is the expensive place to sit today, that was where the riffraff of Bristol used to sit down there. It was called the pit. And down there, there were just rows and rows and rows of very long, thin wooden benches. The theatre today seats 656.
Right.
That's with the gallery put in. So if you take the gallery out and just leave the upper circle level, dress circle level, and also in the original design of this theatre, the stage used to come out where, in reality today, where row D is located in the stall. So there's an almighty thrust on the front of the stage. In those days, when this theatre first opened, with candled lighting, they had the capacity of getting 1,000 Bristolians in here.
Really?
Yes, 1,000. And of course, originally, they never actually had a box office because they had all these money problems. They opened up the theatre, but they didn't have enough money to finish everything off. So they used to sell tickets in passes that are outlets. And of course, it was a wonderful idea of building a place of entertainment right next door to an endless supply of vitamin C. Because the Cooper's Hall was the fruit and vegetable warehouse. So they used to have ladies and gentlemen come in with great big trays of oranges and apples. And there was a butcher's shop on the other end of King Street, and they used to cook pig's feet, pig's trotters. And that was a delicacy you could have by sitting down in the actual pit. I mean, it went from candled lighting to gas burners. And on the front, although they ran out of money, because there were 50 subscribers that donated £50 each, and then later on they got an extra 37 subscribers who donated an extra £30 each. Now, the original 50 subscribers, when the theatre opened, although they ran out of money, they were each awarded a dear little silver token. In reality, this is the same size as a 10p piece. And on this token, it says, Bristol Theatre, May 30th, 1766. And on the reverse of that token, it says, the proprietor of this ticket is entitled to the sight of every performance to be exhibited in the house, which is the main theatre, the Theatre Royal. Now, there's no expiry date on those tokens, and they are still honoured today. Now, I'll share this story with you, because it's a lovely story, because when I started working here in 1983, I was told of these tokens. I was told that the actor Jeremy Irons, who trained at the Bristol Theatre School in later years, when he became very, very famous and made a lot of money, he actually bought one of these tokens at an auction, and I was told that he had one. We do have one here ourselves in the theatre. In fact, we've got two in here ourselves now. And we also have, there are a couple at the City Museum, University of Bristol Theatre Collection. They have about two or three as well. So there are still a few of them out there. And I remember in 1989, we did a musical here called Paul Joey. And one of our regular season ticket holders one day came into the box office, because in those days I worked within our box office on the front desk. And she came up to the counter and she wanted to buy four extra tickets, this show. And of course I recognised her as a season ticket holder, so I gave her 20% discount. And I'll never forget this. She opened up her handbag and pulled out this purse, and then she opened up her purse and pulled out this piece of purple fabric. It was all crushed with velvet. It was all laced and embroidered. At the time I thought to myself, this is a very strange way to carry your credit cards. But when she owned it fully, she presented on the counter not one but two of those original tokens to me. So I went, wow, I said, that's amazing. I said, that gives you four free tickets. Went to hit the complimentary button. She went, no. She said, I want to pay for my ticket. She said, I just wanted to test you to see whether you responded in the right way. And thankfully I did. And I said to her, I said, how come you have two of them? And her husband got one of them, came down. And the interesting thing was, it came down through his family tree from 1766, from that very first year. And then one of the other merchants passed on, so his wife gave the token to his, I think, not great-great-great-grandfather or something along that line, but it's continuously gone down through. So basically they had one, but inherited the second one, and it's gone down through. And I mean, she very kindly paid for her tickets. She just wanted to get this old tradition out. I mean, it's lovely, because I'm going to jump now from the past to today.
Okay.
Because the reason I'm doing that, because at this precise moment in time, there's lots of talk about refurbishment here in the theatre, because over the years it's had several facelifts and alterations done to it. And of course, today we have to address the issue of disabled access to a building, because 241 years ago they didn't think of wheelchair access and those things we have to think of today. So all these things have to be taken on board. So we have to raise a lot of money. And I think it's lovely because our fundraising team have now decided to go back to the beginning and carry on the history of the tokens. So in this last 6 months, we've now issued tokens 51 to 100.
Really?
And we have sold the first 4 to 5 tokens for £50,000 each.
Really?
We have to raise, I think, about £7 million to get this theatre completely. Yeah. And that's just like a facelift. That's not a real general sort of turnover period of refurbishment. That's just like filling in the cracks, putting new seating in. Things that do need to be looked at, obviously, to keep this jewel and the crown of British theatre history alive and to carry on and keep it working, which is important. But it's lovely that they've gone back to the beginning to honour that history of the tokens and take that further forward. But those tokens still exist today, because I got to do a lot of talks into the community with different clubs and organisations. I was doing a talk in Keynsham about just over a year ago, and at the end of the presentation, this gentleman came up to me with a very cheeky smile and said, "What would you say if I said to you I had one of the original silver tokens?" And I said, "Have you?" And he put his hand in his pocket, and out come another one. So, although there are only 50 of them issued, a few of them obviously have got lost in the passage of time, but some of them have still turned up, and they still do come out of the woodwork every now and again.
Yeah.
And we are at the moment, because we've now issued 51 to 100, we are trying to trace what we know is still out there. I've found one in America. We're just trying to locate the gentleman and to get a hold, just to find out what the number was, so we can actually trace it back to the original subscriber who built the theatre.